Vasudevangri Anudhyana Paribrimhitaram Hasa Bhaktya Nirmathitesh Tathashena Kashaya Dishanorjuna. Arjuna's constant remembrance of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna rapidly increased his devotion, and as a result, all the trash in his thoughts subsided. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Material desires in the mind are the trash of material contamination. By such contamination, the living being is faced with so many compatible and incompatible things that discourage the very existence of spiritual identity. Birth after birth, the conditioned soul is entrapped with so many pleasing and displeasing elements, which are all false and temporary. They accumulate due to our reactions to material desires. But when we get in touch with the transcendental Lord and His variegated energies by devotional service, the naked forms of all material desires become manifest, and the intelligence of the living being is pacified in its true color. As soon as Arjuna turned his attention toward the instructions of the Lord as they are inculcated in the Bhagavad Gita, his true color of eternal association with the Lord became manifest, and thus he felt free from all material contaminations. Arjuna's constant remembrance of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna rapidly increased his devotion, and as a result, all the trash in his thoughts subsided. This afternoon, we are reading from the 15th chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Herein we find the beautiful and instructive story of the Pandavas' retirement from all their worldly activities and from this material world itself, and why they left everything behind. Arjuna, after the battle of Kurukshetra, after the Pandavas were coronated as kings, he went to visit Lord Sri Krishna in Dwarka Dham. When he arrived there, he found that Krishna and Balaram had finished or concluded their earthly pastimes and had returned to the spiritual world, Goloka. Arjuna was so heartbroken that without my friendship, without my loving relationship with Lord Sri Krishna, what is there that has any meaning in my life? Because of his broken heart, he did not return to Hastinapur on his scheduled time, because he was thinking, how will I possibly explain this most devastating news to my beloved brothers, Yudhisthira, Bhima, Nakula, Sahadeva? How will I explain this to my beloved mother, Kunti Devi? Krishna was her very life, her very soul. And Draupadi, who saved, Krishna saved her again and again and again whenever she would call out his holy name. Yudhisthira was waiting long time, and he saw many inauspicious signs in the atmosphere, which was indicating that the age of Kali Yuga had begun. Kali Yuga cannot exist in the presence of Krishna. It was not until Krishna left this world that the age of Kali began. When Arjuna arrived, his complexion was pale, tears streaming from his eyes. He was a broken man. Yudhisthira inquired in so many ways, and Arjuna began to explain to him that Krishna and Balaram, along with all of their eternal associates of the Yadu dynasty, have left us. They have returned to the spiritual world. Upon hearing this news, all of the brothers, they only had one thought in their mind, to be with Krishna. Try to understand the situation at hand. Yudhisthira and his brothers, the Pandavas, they were meant to be the kings of the whole world, the whole planet Earth. And the whole planet was taken away from them by so many cheating devices. Duryodhana, Dhritarashtra, Shakuni. They were banished to the forest for many long years. And then ultimately, in order to gain the throne of Hastinapur and power over the world in the service of Krishna, they were willing to fight the most terrible battle that ever took place in our history in Kurukshetra. And there, so many millions upon millions of people were killed. You know how Arjuna, he did not want to fight this battle. How to kill my grandfather Bhishma? How to fight against my beloved teacher Drona? Everything I know, I learned from him. How can I use the gifts that he has given me against him? But for the service of the Lord, they fought this great battle. Their own beloved son, Abhimanyu, was ruthlessly killed. After the war, the five sons of Draupadi were killed by Ashwatthama while they were sleeping. And finally, after so much trouble and turmoil, so much incredible strain and endeavor, they were given the kingdom of the world. But try to know that they only wanted their kingdom for one purpose, because it was the best way they could serve Krishna. They didn't care for anything but devotional service. There is a story of how Maharaj Yudhisthira desired to perform a Rajasuya Yajna. So he approached Lord Krishna and he said, "I want to perform this Yajna only for one purpose, to establish you as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that the whole world will worship you." Because you see, when there is a Rajasuya Yajna, before a king is allowed to perform this sacrifice, first he has to conquer the entire world. And every other king and every other leader in the whole planet has to bow down at his feet and say that I am subordinate to you. And at the beginning of the Rajasuya Yajna is a ceremony called the Agra Puja, where the greatest person in all the world is worshipped. And the king, on behalf of all the other kings and all the other citizens of the planet, worships this great personality before the Rajasuya Yajna begins. So Maharaj Yudhisthira, he wanted to establish Krishna as the Supreme Lord, and he wanted on behalf of the whole planet to worship Krishna and make everyone Krishna conscious. That was his only motive for performing this Rajasuya Yajna. Other kings, they perform it just so that they have the pride, the prestige, and the power where everyone knows that they are supreme. But Yudhisthira Maharaj did it only so that everyone would recognize Krishna as supreme. In order to perform this yajna, the king has to send his messengers to every part of the world. And every king, north, south, east, and west, has to admit that I am the servant of Maharaj Yudhisthira. So Yudhisthira Maharaj sent Sahadev, Arjuna, Nakula, and Bhima in the four directions. And everyone, literally everyone, was accepting. Yes, he is such a noble, pious, and godly man. We accept that he is our master. Jarasandha would not accept. That's a wonderful story, how they finally relieve the earth of the burden of this terrible demon, Jarasandha. But Bhima, he came to a place called Koladweep, which is in the modern-day Navadweep, the place of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birth and the place of the first 24 years of his loving pastimes. But of course, this story took place at the end, or just at the very, it was at the end of the Dwarpa Yuga. There was a king living in Koladweep. His name was Samudrasen. And Bhima, he was very confident. Who will accept a challenge from me? Everywhere he went, they just immediately bowed down. And he had massive, massive armies. And he sent a messenger to Samudrasen's palace that Bhima has come on behalf of Yudhisthira Maharaj, the great king of Hastinapur. He wants to perform a Rajasuya Yajna. Bhima and Yudhisthira demands that you accept subordination to him. Samudrasen was a great devotee. He was thinking that I know that these Pandavas are so dear to Krishna, and he always protects them. No matter what happens, Krishna will always come to protect them. When Duryodhana sent Duravas Muni and his 60,000 disciples to Kamyavan for the purpose of getting some prasad, he sent them just after Draupadi had finished eating. Draupadi had this mystical pot. That pot would feed as many people as would come until she ate her prasad. Then it became an ordinary pot until the next day. So, Duryodhana Muni came, Maharaj Yudhisthira received him. I've come for prasad, and I have my 60,000 disciples. I know you're such a wonderful king. You will certainly give me nice food. And also, you know that if I'm very famous for cursing people, If you do not give us all nice prasad to our full satisfaction, then you know what I can do. We know what he tried to do to Ambarish Maharaj. He's an incarnation. He's an expansion of Lord Shiva. He's very easily pleased, but he's also very easily angered. So Maharaj Yudhisthira said, "Oh yes, yes, please take your bath in Jamuna, and soon we will bring you all nice prasad." So they went to Jamuna. What to do? "Draupadi, Draupadi, get your pot." She said, "I already finished eating. Pot is finished. Nothing's left. There's no food in the house. There's nothing. Our lives are going to be ruined by this Durvas Muni. We're committing such an offense against the great sage. He comes to our home. We have nothing to offer." At that time, Draupadi, she began to just, in her heart of hearts, with tears in her eyes, wanting to protect her beloved husbands from disgrace, she began to pray, "Krishna, save me. Please, Krishna, save me." At that time, Krishna came. He just came to Kamyavan. And he said, "Draupadi, Yudhisthira Maharaj, I've come. I'm very hungry. Give me prasad." They were thinking, "Now, this is even worse. We don't have anything to offer Krishna." And their heads were hung down. And Krishna said, "Certainly there must be something. Bring me the pot." And there was just one little tiny sliver of prasad stuck to the bottom of the pot, and Krishna ate it. And upon eating it, Durvas Muni and all his 60,000 disciples became so full that they were thinking that we cannot put even another morsel of prasad in our mouth. And Yudhisthira Maharaj, we know what a charitable king he is. He must have cooked a wonderful, incredible, exotic, opulent feast for us. And we can't even put enough, we won't even be able to put one spoonful in our mouths. We're so full. So then Krishna told Bhima that you take your club and you go and you ask Durvas Muni and all of his disciples, "Come, prasad is ready." Bhima surrendered to Krishna, could not understand these things. There's nothing there, but he went. And Durvas Muni and his followers saw Bhima coming with his club, and they were thinking, "Oh, no, if we don't accept Yudhisthira's invitation and we don't eat his prasad, Bhima may beat us with his club." So they all just ran away as fast as they could. Riva! In this way, Lord Sri Krishna saved the Pandavas. Again and again and again, Krishna would always be there to save the Pandavas. Samudra Sen knew this. He was thinking that I have worshipped Krishna my whole life, but I have not yet seen the beautiful darshan of Krishna. For me, he may not come, but for Bhima, he will always come. So I will fight with this Bhima, and I will fight so hard that Krishna will have to come to rescue him. So he sent a message to Bhima that I will not subordinate myself to you. If you choose to fight me, then let us fight. Bhima was shocked. What nonsense is this? He wants to fight with me. He doesn't know who I am, what kind of armies I have. So Bhima surrounded the entire city of Samudragar. And they began to blow their conch shells, ready to attack. And then Samudra Sen and all of his armies came out charging. And Samudra Sen was fighting so expertly and so violently that he was just killing everything. And Bhima was just helpless. He was thinking, "What can I do? This man, he's such an empowered devotee of the Lord. I'll never be able to defeat him. And he began to pray to Krishna, please save me. Please protect me. We've come here to establish you as the Supreme Godhead. I've come here in the dignity of the name of Yudhisthira. Please save us. We're going to be defeated. And as Bhima was praying from the core of his heart in this way for Krishna's mercy, behind Bhima on his chariot, Krishna appeared. Shri Bhagavan Krishna ki! He appeared as a beautiful cowherd boy, playing on a flute with a beautiful peacock feather adorning his head, with wonderful golden dhoti, silk, the color of shining lightning, with a beautiful complexion like the tamal tree, and his lotus eyes were so mercifully and elegantly glancing upon Samudra Sen. Now, nobody but Samudra Sen could see this beautiful darshan of Krishna. So right in the middle of this terrible, terrible war, Samudra Sen got off his chariot, and with folded palms, he began to offer prayers to Krishna that all my desires are now fulfilled. I have had your blessed darshan. Have you have proven to the world that you always protect your devotees? Kaunteya prati janehi name bhakta pranashyati. But I have heard that in the age of Kali, which is rapidly approaching, you will appear here in Navadvip Dham in your beautiful form of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Please allow me to see this most merciful and beautiful incarnation I have heard of. And just as he was saying this, Krishna transformed himself into the beautiful forms of Radha and Krishna. And the whole land of Vrindavan was revealed before Samudra Sen. And then Radha Krishna became one in the beautiful golden form of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki! And he raised his arms and he started chanting. Lord Gauranga raised his arms, his beautiful elongated arms, chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. But he was chanting loudly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. When Samudra Sen witnessed this most beautiful darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he got down from his chariot. He already got down from his chariot, and he was offering his prostrated obeisances, weeping and crying in ecstatic love. And Bhima, he didn't know what was happening. He was thinking, what kind of inconceivable potency is this, that in the middle of the fight, although he was defeating me and about to conquer me, all of a sudden, now he's bowing down and surrendering to me. Nobody knew that Krishna and Mahaprabhu were behind him. So then after Samudra Sen bowed down to Bhima, he took his armies and went back to the city fully satisfied. And Bhima, yes, Krishna saved me again. And Maharaj Yudhisthira performed the Rajasuya Yajna. And you know, at the beginning of that Agra Puja, when Yudhisthira Maharaj chose Krishna to be the supreme most worshipable person for the whole earth to adore, Shishupal could not tolerate it. And it was on that occasion that ultimately Shishupal started blaspheming Krishna with so many terrible insults. He was given a benediction that up to 100 blasphemies and consecutively he was allowed. But he so much lost control of his senses that he spoke 101 blasphemies. At that time, Krishna took his Sudarshan Chakra and his head was finished. It fell to the ground. And the light from his body merged into the body of Krishna, right in front of Yudhisthira and everyone else. So what the Pandavas did to try to serve Krishna. And here, all of their life's mission had fructified in complete success. They were the kings of the world, unparalleled, and everyone was bowing their heads at the lotus feet of Yudhisthira, Arjuna, Bhima, Nakula, and Sahadeva. But when they received the news that Krishna had left this world, they were thinking, what is the use of this big, great kingdom that we've worked so hard for? If we don't have Krishna, it's all like an empty, dreary void. Yugayatam nimeshena chakshusha pravrishayatam sunyayatam jagat saravam govinda vidahename. Gauranga Mahaprabhu prayed in this way, that Krishna, even a moment of separation from you seems like 12 years or more. And without your beautiful vision, this whole world is nothing but a dreary void. A devotee understands that without Krishna, there is no meaning to anything in our life. The whole world is a void. Sometimes businessmen, they work so hard throughout their lives to build a big, big empire of business. And they think, now I am successful. Now I have conquered my competitors. Now I am established. Now I am the Lord of all I survey. But if you don't have Krishna, a devotee will see that it's all simply useless, nothing without Krishna. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the greatest of all scholars, who scrutinizingly understood all Vedanta and had all great, great sannyasis, jnanis coming to his lotus feet to learn Vedanta from him. After he became Krishna conscious, he realized that all my studies, all my knowledge is a dreary, empty void without Krishna consciousness, without Krishna. And Yudhisthira Maharaj, through so many long, long years and so many terrible ordeals, he finally attained the kingdom of the world as the supreme monarch and ruler. But what is the use without Krishna? Krishna Suryasam, Maya Haya Andakar, Yahan Krishna Taha Nahi, Maya Radhikar. That Krishna is like the sun and Maya is like darkness. Without Krishna, the whole world is darkness. Our families, our businesses, our nations, everything we have, without Krishna in the center, it is all simply a painful illusion. With Krishna in the center, the Pandavas were willing to fight and give their lives for that kingdom. But when Krishna left the kingdom, they wanted nothing to do with it anymore. A devotee is willing to fight and do anything for Krishna. But without Krishna, he has no business doing anything for anyone. This is Krishna consciousness. Arjuna, he was so desperately feeling separation. He was given the instruction to protect the queens of Krishna and to bring them to Hastinapur. And while he was traveling to Hastinapur, a band of infidel cowherd men came to attack him. And Arjuna, with his mighty Gandiva bow, he began to fight against them. The same hands and the same Gandiva bow that completely conquered the greatest warriors in all the universe. That Gandiva bow put Bhishma Dev, who even Parasuram, the supreme personality of Godhead, Avatar, he could not defeat Bhishma. But Arjuna defeated him. How was it that now just some ordinary men came and attacked him and Arjuna was utterly defeated? Because he realized that Krishna gave me this potency for a particular reason. But now my mission has been fulfilled. And Krishna has withdrawn his potency. And now I can do nothing. The realization that we all gain from this beautiful story. Prakrite kriyamana nigunai karamani saravasha ahankara vimudhatma karataham iti manyate. That Krishna is the doer. That he is the power that we all live by. He is the strength of the strong. He is the intelligence of the intelligent. It is all Krishna's power. He gives us the power to see, to hear, to smell, to taste, to walk, to talk, to think. He gives us all the facilities of this world. Everything is happening by the mercy of Krishna. We are never the doer of our activities. A bewildered soul thinks himself to be the doer of his activities. But Krishna gives us independence, the power, the knowledge, the strength, the wealth, all that he's given us. We have the choice to properly use it or misuse it. He gives us these bodies, this mind, and this senses. We have the choice to use it in his loving service or to use it for our own selfish, pleasurable purposes. But in either case, the power is coming from Krishna. It's not us. All we have is the choice how to use it, either for Maya or for Krishna, but it's all coming from Krishna. So therefore, the greatest foolishness, the greatest ignorance, is pride, false pride, to take credit for anything, to think that I am the doer, is ignorance. Krishna's the doer. We're just instruments, we're puppets. We're either puppets directly in his hands or indirectly in the hands of Maya Devi. But the power is ultimately coming from the same source. Aham saravasya prabhavo maya dyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. That the whole maya potency is working under Krishna's direction. For those who are rascals. So people have misconception that if Krishna is the doer, then even if I do bad things, I'm not to blame, Krishna is to blame. Because Krishna says that he's the doer of everything. This philosophy is very dangerous. In fact, it is one of the offenses against the holy name to commit sins in the strength of the holy name. To try to justify immoral activities that Krishna is the doer is the greatest illusion. As long as we try to justify in this way, there is no possibility of salvation from our sinful activities. We find the greatest Vaishnavas. They don't say, Krishna, all of my sins are your mercy. I'm not at fault, you are at fault. But the most sinless Vaishnavas, they pray, I am so sinful, Krishna. I am so wretched. I am so fallen. But you are so merciful that you are still willing to allow me to associate with your devotees and to chant your holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Ram. This is the consciousness of a real devotee of the Lord. Yes, Krishna is the doer, but he gives the choice to us what we will do with the gifts that he has given us. But we should never take credit for what we do good. But we should always accept blame for what we do wrong. Materialistic people do not like this philosophy. They want to put their own mistakes to blame on everyone else, including God. And when it comes to credit, they like to take all the credit themselves. Sometimes they will even go to the extent of saying, I didn't do it, Krishna did it, so you should give me credit for being such a saintly person to say this. Huh? In this way, the false ego is such a fastidious and dangerous enemy. How is it that a devotee, realistically, is able to give Krishna credit for everything he does good and take the blame for everything he does bad, and even take the blame for what he doesn't do bad? Philosophically, we can understand that this is correct. It is not simply in a sentiment or emotion. Yet Krishna is giving us all the power, and if we use that power right, all we get credit for is that we just did it Krishna's way. But Krishna did it, we were just willing to do it his way. But if you take that same power, that same shakti that he's giving you, and you use it against his will, you're to blame for the results of all of the consequences. In this way, we must discriminate. What is Krishna's desire? And we must surrender to Krishna's desire. And after we surrender to Krishna's desire, in a positive spiritual way, we must know that all credit goes to Krishna. Material thinking is the thinking of I, me, and mine. I have done this, I have done that, and I am this. And just see me. And all these things are mine. But spiritual consciousness is Bhoktaram Jagatapasam Sarvalokameheshwaram Suhridam Sarvabhutanam Gyatvamam Shanti Mrichcha. That everything is the property of Krishna. Everything is being done by Krishna. I am simply here to be enjoyed by Krishna. Not to enjoy. And even if we do something wonderful, we should not enjoy the credit. We should give that to Krishna too. This is what it means that Krishna is the enjoyer of everything. I knew one devotee. He was a wonderful, wonderful kirtan singer. And he was getting so much credit for singing such beautiful, beautiful, wonderful kirtans and getting everyone to chant and to dance. And then one day, his voice just went, finished. Couldn't even talk, what to speak of sing. And the doctor said, you'll never be able to sing again. In fact, you'll never even be able to give a lecture again. And for several years, all he could do is, Hare Krishna. And he got a good realization that all that power to make people dance and to make people chant, it was not mine, it was Krishna's. And the proof that it's Krishna's is that he had the power to take it away. Punar Mushtaka Bhava. We know the story of the magician. He gave the mouse the power to become a cat, and then a dog, and then a tiger. But then when he used that power of being a tiger against the magician said, again become a mouse. Punar Mushtaka Bhava. He became mouse. Whatever we have is Krishna's gift. But he can also take it away. And Krishna's taking it away as his mercy, just to prove to us and give us the realization that it was never ours in the first place. It was never ours to enjoy either on the gross or subtle platform. Either to enjoy with our senses and our body, or even to enjoy with our mind through the distinction and the credit and the prestige that comes with whatever we've done. It is all meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. So anyways, this nice kirtan leader, after some years, Krishna miraculously gave him his voice back. And now he's singing nice kirtans again. But he understands that I'm not doing it. Krishna can make sounds through my voice if he likes. But it's Krishna. Sometimes when devotees, when they are very learned, they can speak very eloquently through their own brain substance. But other devotees, they just, Krishna, please give me something to say. And sometimes he doesn't give you anything to say. You're blank. Something like I am today. You don't know what to do. Then you realize, Krishna, you are the doer. You can speak through me or you cannot speak through me. You have any right to make me a hero or a fool. In any way you like. I am your servant unconditionally. This is Krishna consciousness. And Krishna will sometimes make you a fool. And sometimes he will make you a hero. We don't mind. We just, Krishna, you do anything. I am your servant. So Arjuna had this realization that I've been defeated. That Krishna's withdrawn all his power. And therefore I'm like an ordinary man. And when he came to Hastinapur, he was weeping. He was crying. What to do? Yudhisthira Maharaj. Krishna's gone and he's taken with him all of the opulence he's given us. He was so sad. But then, Arjuna, by the mercy of the Lord, began to remember the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita that he heard from Sri Krishna just prior to the battle of Kurukshetra. Sarvasya chaham ridishan nivishtau matasmitir jnanam apohanam cha vidaischa sarveraham eva vejo vedanta krid veda videva chaham. Krishna says that I am the source of all remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Do you think you have the power to remember Krishna? Do you think you have the power to forget Krishna? That power is given by God, according to our desire. If we are sincere, Krishna will give us the power to remember him. And if we are insincere, Krishna will give us the power to forget him. Srila Prabhupada used to tell us that all these arguments of the atheists, and even the very sophisticated scientific atheists, he said, where are they getting all of their arguments to deny God? From God. He's the source of all knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. According to our sincerity, our submissiveness, and our desires. So miraculously, in this state of utter despair, by the grace of Lord Sri Krishna, Arjuna began to remember the wonderful instructions that he heard in the form of the Bhagavad Gita. And all of his strength, and all of his hope and courage came back to him. Because Krishna is none different than the sound vibration of his words or the sound vibration of his holy name. The verse we are reading today, Arjuna's constant remembrance of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna rapidly increased his devotion, and as a result, all the trash in his thoughts subsided. This is the first and most essential of all instructions to always remember Krishna. But how to always remember Krishna? Krishna explained, Isihishnana amanina manadena kirataniya sadahari. Amongst the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, this verse is the supreme most of all slokas. To be more humble than a blade of grass, to be more tolerant than a tree, to be ready to give all respect to other living beings and to expect no respect for oneself. Only in this state of mind can one chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Kirtaniya Sadahari. And when we are talking about Kirtaniya Sadahari, always chanting the name, this means always remembering Krishna. Antakali chamame vasmanan mukva kalevaram yam yam vapishmanan bhavam tijajyante kalevaram tham tham evaiti kondeya sadata bhava bhavata. Krishna says that whatever you think of at the time of death, that you will attain without fail. If you think of me at the time of death, you will attain me without fail. But how to think of Krishna? Through sound vibration, through remembering his instructions, as Arjuna was doing, or through remembering his holy name. But unless we truly aspire for the principle of humility and tolerance, Krishna will not grant us the power to remember his holy name when it is most essential in our life. Through transcendental sound, we can always keep our mind fixed on Krishna. And that is why Sri Krishna himself, he appeared again in this world to teach us this sublime process. In this chapter, we find that Krishna has just left the world and Kali Yuga begins. And Arjuna, remembering his sound vibration, find solace and hope. And he and his brothers, they put Vajra and Parikshit in charge of the kingdoms, and they left for Swargaloka, and ultimately for the spiritual sky, Vaikuntha. But after Krishna left, he remained always through the sound of the teachings of the Gita and through the sound of his holy name. And in this age of Kali, Krishna appears again as Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu to teach us. Yare deka taraka Krishna upadesh amara goy guru hoy tare desh. That you always remember the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, and you always chant the holy names in the association of devotees, and you will always remember me. That is the simple, sublime instruction for all living beings in this age of Kali. We absolutely, desperately require the association of devotees. Because in that association, we will properly hear the sound vibration of Gita and Bhagavat. And in that association, we will be encouraged, enlivened, and inspired to strive to attentively chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. So we should all aspire to cultivate the same consciousness as Arjuna. That without you, Krishna, my whole life, my family, all of what I have done, it is all nothing but a dreary, empty, miserable void, unless it is being utilized for your pleasure, in your remembrance, Krishna. And to establish that consciousness, it is so easy. By learning to humbly serve the devotees, and in that mood to sincerely chant his holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare.